Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast and a big Monday Night Raw to review tonight. Everything from Randy Orton getting some of his heat back to Retribution actually having some kind of identity on Raw and their awarded WWE contracts. Yeah, I've got a lot to say on that. And we also have Zelina Vega earning her first Raw Women's Championship opportunity at Clash of Champions. So much to get into, so let's get everything started right after this. Are you in a position where you need to sell your home? Perhaps you're facing financial difficulties, or you're facing a foreclosure, a divorce, or maybe you're just relocating because of retirement. Maybe there are some other debt issues and you just need to sell your home. Well, here is a great solution for you. And that solution is Bright Realty Investment. They are a leading real estate solutions company, and their mission is to work hand in hand with all parties to handle every situation with the utmost professionalism and care. So if you're in a particularly stressful financial situation right now and you need to protect your credit, then don't waste another minute. Head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com. That's brightrealtyinvestment.com. And when you go to the website, there's a really easy form you fill out that's right at the top, and they'll get back to you immediately. So why wait? Don't let that divorce, that retirement, or other bad debt situation take control of your life. Take control back and head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com where they can buy your house, protect your credit, and get your life back on track. Again, head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? 'Cause Stone Cold said so.
All right, guys, let's do this. It is your Raw review right now. Boy, there's a lot that I want to cover. It was a crazy show on a lot of levels. As we get closer to Clash of Champions this Sunday night on the WWE Network, as if it would be anywhere else, there's a lot to cover. Retribution reveals themselves after 2 months. I mean, literally almost 2 months of nonsensical violence. And we're going to get into all of the good and a lot of bad in terms of just logic, just basic logic of the Retribution angle. I'm not asking for a lot. I'm not asking for super detailed attention to detail is what I'm saying. I'm not looking for that. I'm just looking for, can I watch something that WWE produces that I don't have to consciously try to follow what they're doing without getting angry and having my intelligence insulted? That's all I ask for as a fan. So we're going to get to that. And I'm not going to say that all the Retribution angle is terrible. It's not all terrible. It's just the way they've been presented, I think, is the worst of all of it, which is just the unbelievability. Okay, so we're gonna get into that one hot and heavy very soon. But first, welcome to the show. This is the Raw Review. Tomorrow will be Nostalgia. And I don't have a topic. So if y'all got a topic and you can get it to me in time before I record tomorrow night, which is Wednesday night the 23rd, then please do so, because I am looking for a topic for tomorrow night's Nostalgia show. I have some things in mind, but like I said, sometimes I just don't get inspired until halfway through the day or a couple hours before the show, and I'm like, that's what I miss. That's what I want to talk about. That's what I love. So if you guys got something, though, please send it my way at realwwpodcast@gmail.com. We also have some voicemails to get to tonight. I think like four voicemails. So I want to get to you guys. I think it's also good to hear other voices. I've said that before. I'll say it again. You guys are really good about sending in voicemails when you have a rant or a question or just want to talk wrestling. And that's exactly what that's for. If you'd like to join the party and you're like, hey, what's this number? Call it 518-952-0247. That's the number to call. It is an unmanned line for those that haven't called before. It's unmanned, I promise. No one's going to answer. It's not going to be weird. It just goes to voicemail. So Before I get there, though, before I get to the voicemail, before I get to the review, I want to shout out Chris Sadakis. Sadoskis? Sorry, I'm terrible at this. Chris. I know I got that part right. Thanks so much for being a patron, a new patron of the show on patreon.com. A big thank you for your support, and looking forward to talking with you and creating maybe a show with you if you'd like. You have earned that as the top tier that you've selected for the Patreon levels. Thank you so much, and looking forward to talking with you. Alrighty, well, here are the voicemails, and let's get to it. I haven't reviewed them. I have not yet. I've listened to a little bit of it, so I'm really listening to this the first time that you guys are, which I think makes it more fun. I don't have predisposed comments, suggestions, or answers to this, which I think it makes it more fun, right? So let's get to it. Here's the first voicemail.
Hey, Matt, it's Jim in New York calling again. Last time I left you a message was with my crazy idea that Drew McIntyre could be the leader of Retribution. I will say this past Monday on Raw, when they had the ring surrounded and Lee had his back to McIntyre for a split second, I really thought it was going to happen, but alas, it didn't. But sticking with the WWE title picture, I wanted to get your thoughts. Where do you think they're going with this? I think there's a bunch of different directions they could go, and maybe it gets cleared up tonight on Raw. But I think if they stick with Drew versus Orton in an ambulance match, which I really hope they don't, to me, an ambulance match is like a tables match. They set that up for the heel to win. It's kind of a cheap victory. Throwing Keith Lee into the mix, if they do stick with that ambulance match, maybe Keith Lee's waiting in the ambulance and attacks Drew as he's about to win or something. And Orton wins the title and sets up Lee versus McIntyre for the future. Again, I don't like that option. Maybe they go with a triple threat match, which I would really love to see. And also, again, my out-of-the-box theory, like with the Retribution thing last month, kind of ties into your quick hits a couple weeks ago where you talked about the Tyson Fury thing with Drew McIntyre. I'm wondering if that's really going to happen. And if it does, I think they got to keep the belt on McIntyre. I think they'd like to have the boxing world champion against the wrestling world champion. But I think they'd also have to turn Drew heel. All these times they bring in these celebrities or athletes, they always have them go against heel wrestlers, LT against Bam Bam, Mickey Rourke against Chris Jericho, etc. So I do think there's a lot of different directions they could go. I'm very interested to see where you think they're going to go with this. And thanks for the great work, and I'll be listening. Bye.
Hey, Jim. Thanks so much for the voicemail. So your questions about the WWE title picture, where are they going? That's a good question. That's such a loaded question. I will say I have been of the belief that they were going to put the belt on Orton sooner than later. I actually thought it was going to happen at the last pay-per-view, and it didn't. I still would have done it. I think that Orton being champion is more valuable than Drew being champion. I know he won it at Mania, but I think that keeping it or putting it on Orton would make him even hotter than he is, and it would make Edge's return that much more important. But then it would be, well, do we want to have Edge chase Orton for the championship? And then what if Edge wins? Can he be the guy to hold the championship for however long? I mean, so there's a domino effect that they have to think of course. And maybe they don't want Orton as champion when Edge returns, and maybe he's returning imminently. So I honestly think if I was WWE, I probably would bank on Drew remaining champion. Simply for the fact of, like I just mentioned with Edge being champion, kind of, I'm not sure that at this moment Edge as champion would work that well, especially in front of no fans. I think it's deserved to have fans there if he's going to have one more run with the belt. And the way that Monday Night Raw ended with Orton standing tall and then hitting him in the back with a chair halfway through the show tells you that Orton is probably going to lose. Probably. I'm not guaranteeing it. Perhaps Retribution gets involved in the match, helping Orton to win the match, and then Orton wins. Orton wins the championship via Retribution. Absolutely possible. And it's not out of the realm of saying more than possible. It could be likely if you could make a case like that. So good question. And as far as sticking with the ambulance match, yes, you're absolutely right that it's not a true victory for a heel right? Like, it's a, it is kind of a cheap win. It's kind of like escaping from a steel cage match. It's not, it's like, yeah, you won, but did you really? You know, it's like, okay, you just throw someone in the back of an ambulance and close the door and you win. So it's absolutely set up for a heel to win here, and I would not be surprised if Orton wins. I mean, I'm talking myself into both scenarios. I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, as the old saying goes. But you could make a case very strongly for both. So the other question about Drew versus Tyson Fury. Yeah, I did cover this on a Quick Hits a number of weeks ago. I think I was on vacation when I did that. But I'm not a big fan of this. It's a spectacle. If you're going to have champion versus champion and only keep the championship on Drew for Tyson Fury, that's a terrible reason to do it. I do not want Tyson Fury to go over. I don't like anybody coming in that has it from the outside world that comes in and makes everyone else look like a fool, which WWE does way more often than they don't. I'd say it's like 9 times out of 10 that they make the people in the company and the wrestlers in the company, existing wrestlers, look like absolute idiots whenever they have a celebrity come in, and they always get the best of them. So, I'd watch it, obviously. I mean, it's interesting from the level of, you know, Drew McIntyre, this big 6'5" dude versus Tyson Fury, one of the biggest men and biggest names in boxing. I get it. But do I really want to see it? No. Like, no, I don't think people are out there going, oh my God, I can't wait to see that. I really, really don't think there's people out there saying that is going to be so cool if that happens. No, it to me, it's more of Vince salivating at it simply for the fact of it being a spectacle and getting eyeballs and hoping for a crossover audience. But fans, I don't hear it or see it or feel it as a whole going out and just protesting. It's probably not the best word to use today, but I'll use it. Fans are not protesting for Tyson Fury versus Drew McIntyre. I don't think that that's a thing. So, again, it's just kind of like blah to me. But thanks so much, Jim, and let's get to the next voicemail.
Hey, Matt, this is Mike from Texas. My question, or I mean, I guess it's not really a question, but it doesn't pertain to the current product as far as storylines go, more so the pay-per-view schedule. I've heard you allude to it several times on how all of these gimmick pay-per-views kind of take a little bit of the luster out of each of the pay-per-views themselves. I mean, if you look, there's Elimination Chamber, Extreme Rules, Hell in a Cell, TLC, Money in the Bank. I mean, that's 5 pay-per-views right there out of the 12-month year that are just strictly gimmick pay-per-views, and I feel like none takes a hit worse than obviously the Hell in the Cell and the Elimination Chamber, because like you said, it forces you to kind of put unworthy storylines in those matches, and sometimes it just doesn't, those storylines don't feel like they're worthy. And I feel like you have a couple right now, obviously, with Sasha and Bayley, and if Edge was healthy, him and Randy Orton, you got worthy storylines that would work, that you wouldn't have to squeeze them into this specific time period. You can put them in all throughout the year. I mean, I'm not really sure what happened to a lot of the other pay-per-views, like No Way Out, Judgment Day. Obviously, they probably can't do Bad Blood anymore, but Vengeance, Unforgiven, Armageddon. Luckily, they've revived pay-per-views like Backlash, No Mercy, and the NXT version of Great American Bash. I mean, I guess that's better than nothing, but I'm just curious if you know what happened to the other pay-per-views, why they stopped using them. And if you know if there's any possible way maybe they plan on changing a little bit. I mean, they've already brought back Backlash, No Mercy, and a few of the others. I mean, maybe it'd be nice for them to bring back a few others. I mean, No Way Out was always one of my favorites right before WrestleMania. But that's all I got for you today, Matt. Hope all is well, and I'll talk to you next time.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much for calling in, and I believe your first time call in, so that's pretty cool, and thanks for taking the time. And here's my answer to the pay-per-view schedule. I mean, I'm going to reiterate exactly what you said. The fact that WWE just decides to put these Hell in a Cell pay-per-views just because it's part of the schedule, I think is short-sighted on their part, because their marketing department is probably selling Vince McMahon on the fact that these gimmick pay-per-views, they're built in, already exciting, right? They're built in to be exciting, and you're looking forward to the Chamber, you're looking forward to the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. I would argue the opposite, because if those pay-per-views don't deliver in terms of storylines and programs that are used inside those specialty matches don't deliver and aren't worthy, you're diluting the whole purpose of those matches. And it brings it down, and then you're like, oh, it's just part of it. And you see it more, and guess what? When you see it more, it means less. It's supply and demand in very basic form. And I've said that many times on this show. So, I think WWE looks at those as very superficial boosts in their revenue or interest. They're trying to create interest in their pay-per-views when they have TLC, all tables, ladders, and chairs. We get to see people beat each other up all night with inanimate objects. Hell in a Cell, all the cell. And when you do that, it's so superficial because they don't look at what makes programs or matches really good. And it's not necessarily the moves, it's the story. Always will be the story. Always, always, always. At a deep level, it will be the story. And when they try to use gimmick pay-per-views as a band-aid or a mask, I should say, for the lack of really good stories, then that's where herein lies the problem. When you do not have great stories, you have to come up with gimmicks to superficially cover up the fact that you cannot create a great story. And then those gimmicks also start to mean less. So it's really, you're burning the wick at both ends. I mean, that's just what it is. So as far as where did those names go? Where did the names go, right? Where did Vengeance go? Where did Armageddon go? Well, I think I have a very corporate answer for you. And those names have innate problems in today's environment. Think about if WWE brought back the Armageddon pay-per-view in 2020. Yeah, I'll wait. I mean, personally, I don't care. I'm not offended. I think Armageddon is a great name for a pay-per-view. So do I think is Vengeance. I don't know what happened to them other than the fact that, and this has got to be it, is that they are no longer appropriately named, especially for what's going on as of late. It would just be hilariously bad for WWE to bring back an Armageddon pay-per-view in 2020. Given everything that's going on, just a bad call. No Way Out, though, I'm a bit kind of skeptical on that one. There's obviously nothing inherently wrong with those words or the pay-per-view name. There's really nothing negative or any kind of trigger that could set a sponsor off. I am with you that the No Way Out pay-per-view was something that I looked forward to every single WrestleMania season. It was like the final stop before WrestleMania. And I don't know what happened to it. They just decided to have a different name because, and really, I remember they did two different pay-per-views at one point, and it was like Roadblock. If you remember Roadblock, that was just a random pay-per-view stuck in there, and now the Elimination Chamber. It's just something that is just there, and it's built in, and I don't know why they renamed it. It can't be for offensive reasons. It's just got to be for, let's change it up. Right? I don't know. But I saw nothing wrong with No Way Out. I loved it. So thanks so much, Mike, from Texas, for calling in. And Sean, I did see your voicemail. Your quality was kind of bad. It was like in and out, and I heard a few words. And I didn't want to put it on here because I want to make sure that I understand exactly what you're asking. So, Sean, please call back and try to, I guess, put yourself in a better place for a cell connection because it was really choppy. So, Sean, I really would have put your voicemail on here, but it really would have been tough to listen to. So,
all right. So we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to get right into Retribution. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to just dive into it right after the commercial break because it is something that I have a serious problem with. And again, I want to preface this. This is not a blank session, right? Like, I love wrestling. But when stories are bad, I call it out. And when logic is missing, I call it out. So, yeah, it's going to be a pretty critical segment coming up after the break. But I
I want you to know, too, I do see some good in this. There is some good in this. So I will also point that out. So those of you that, oh, here he goes ranting about wrestling. If he hates it so much, why watch it? Look, we all are here because we love wrestling. You're listening to this show because you love wrestling. I just want to preface this by saying that I'm not part of WWE. I do not have any ties to WWE. I can say whatever I want, and I call a spade a spade. You guys know how it runs on the show. So, all right, here comes the break, and then we'll be back on the other side.
You're listening to the WWE Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
Since the release of AM's Up Into AM album on April 24th, he's been proving that music is all his. To despite the fact that was just his first album, now here he is with the second album. The theme continues to Up Into AM. If you can't wait to hear more, then head on over to Spotify and search for Up Into AM. This track you're listening to is called 2020-2030 by Zone AM. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to Spotify today and search for Up Into AM and see what you've been missing. Are you in a position where you need to sell your home? Perhaps you're facing financial difficulties, or you're facing a foreclosure, a divorce, or maybe you're just relocating because of retirement. Maybe there are some other debt issues and you just need to sell your home. Well, here is a great solution for you. And that solution is Bright Realty Investment. They are a leading real estate solutions company, and their mission is to work hand in hand with all parties to handle every situation with the utmost professionalism and care. So if you're in a particularly stressful financial situation right now and you need to protect your credit, then don't waste another minute. Head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com. That's brightrealtyinvestment.com. And when you go to the website, there's a really easy form you fill out that's right at the top, and they'll get back to you immediately. So why wait? Don't let that divorce, that retirement, or other bad debt situation take control of your life. Take control back and head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com where they can buy your house, protect your credit, and get your life back on track. Again, head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
Alrighty, guys, strap in. Fasten your seatbelts. Put your tray tables up. Take a breath. Because I'm about to dismantle this Retribution storyline. What I will say, and I'll start with the good so I don't forget it, because there are times when I rant and I forget about the good because I want to be fair. I want to be fair about what I'm analyzing, that there's two sides to this, even if it is it's excessively lopsided. Okay, so the good about Retribution. They're different looking. There's men and women on this in the same group. That's certainly a good thing. It's new, even though the women, when they're beating down men, kind of stand on the side because we can't have the men on women, women on men violence. But that's good. It's new. It's different. The visuals, good. They also each got masks that are cool, I guess, if you like Hannibal Lecter. Boy, that was taken right out of Silence of the Lambs, wasn't it? Especially the lead guy. He was very, very inspired by Hannibal Lecter. And certainly Jason Voorhees also a little bit in there, too. I'm fine with it. You know, I like the fact that they have masks and they have a voice. And they actually came on Raw and they actually have contracts. We're no longer pretending that they are not supposed to be there. That long overstayed its welcome. So that is the good. That's where it ends. So let me start with the fact that they have contracts. So let me get this straight. This group of people that were destroying WWE property, throwing cinder blocks through windows, flipping over cars, throwing Molotov cocktails, destroying the power grid at the performance center, attacking fans, attacking production crew, attacking the announcers, destroying the ring, chainsawing the ropes, all of this, creating a super unsafe work environment, are rewarded with WWE contracts? Wait, what? How? Did I just say that? Yeah. How are they rewarded? Now you may say, well, you've been complaining that they haven't had contracts and we shouldn't be pretending that they're not supposed to be there anymore. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But how did they just get contracts? And I'm complaining about this too because I know WWE will not explain this. They're just going to go, they're just going to be nonchalant about it. It's over. They have contracts. They're here. Okay. So we're no longer pretending that they're not supposed to be here. They're here. But are we ever going to get to how they got contracts? How they're rewarded with destructive behavior? I can guarantee you, that if I took five of my closest friends and we started ransacking WWE in their ring, in their production truck, they would not reward me with a WWE contract. No. They would reward me with a ticket straight to jail. They would reward me with a squad car straight to the precinct, right? Like, that is what should happen. And instead, this group gets rewarded with WWE contracts. Explain to me how this happened. But they're not going to. They don't feel the need. They think that at a stupid high level, that fans are going to go, oh, okay, well, they have contracts now. Now it makes sense that they're here. But that's point one. Like, what the hell? This is stupid. They could have at least fought for it or held somebody hostage for it or explained why they received contracts. Were they just so inept security-wise that anybody that can come in consistently and cause hell just gets rewarded? It's infuriating. It's infuriating. They're just the fact that they didn't explain it and they were just lazily doing it without having to explain it at all is what's infuriating. So that's point one. Point two, they reiterated, Tom Phillips reiterated many times that now that they have WWE contracts, they can do anything to anyone, anytime that they want. It was said multiple times and made very clear. Let me get this straight. So either a WWE contract always gives anybody this right to do, and it's always just built into all of these independent contractors' language in the contract, and anybody can do anything to anyone, which I guess you could make the case that that is what pro wrestling is. But at the same time, this has never been really enhanced. It's never been highlighted as part of a contract. So I'm led to believe that it's kind of a special condition that these folks are actually given the ability to do anything they want to anybody. And that's pretty damn all-encompassing, meaning they can attack anybody at any time with no repercussions. So not only is this group rewarded for their awful, destructive, felony behavior, and I know they're not truly going to jail, it's wrestling. I'm not stupid, okay? I'm talking about just logic. I shouldn't have to think this hard. I'm not going into nitty-gritty detail about, no, this is big holes in the story. Big. Huge. And the fact that they, again, are rewarded and they're able to, and it was reiterated over and over and over. Well, wait a minute. Now they can just do anything? So they're not only awarded contracts, they're also awarded the ability to do anything. Says who? Why? Is it just supposed to create the narrative to fans that this group is going to be unpredictable, they can do anything to anyone? Or is it just, well, yeah, that's how wrestling works? Which one is it? Right? Were they given special privileges and immunity from being fired from WWE? That's point two. Point three. They're absolute hypocrites in the storyline. The very company that they seek to destroy, the very company that they are deeming toxic and as part of the problem, are actually a part of the problem. You may say, what are you talking about? They are, number one, this is like 3A. They are claiming that people are there for the money and the greed. Well, wait a minute. You guys were rewarded contracts from WWE. So you're being monetarily rewarded from WWE for not only your behavior, and apparently now you have immunity from anything, everything, and you can do anything to anyone, but you are now a part of the problem that you describe other people being as the problem. I mean, what? And also, do they really need contracts? I mean, yeah, they haven't had an official match, but they have gotten in scot-free without security for the last 8 weeks. So do they really need contracts? I mean, I guess they wanted WWE's money, of which they're shaming other people for, but when it's lining their own pockets, it's okay. It's just the hypocrisy in this, and maybe that's the point, but I don't think it is. I don't think WWE's digging that deep into it, and they're talking about retribution, shaming other people for being greedy in WWE and their contracts, yet they're awarded contracts. I guarantee WWE is not looking into this. I will bank on it. Really. And the other point is, if you're truly trying to destroy a company, if you're really trying to take people out, why are you adhering to the rules of a match? If your goal is destruction, if your goal is to completely flatten the WWE, why are you taking up TV time and helping out WWE in terms of ratings? Because retribution, let's be honest, is a very decent talking point among fans. So if you are taking up their time and you're under a contract with them, then you're obligated to do the best that you can and to that your services are for the company's benefit. That's what the contract says. Unless this contract is the worst contract of all time written by WWE lawyers. I don't understand this. There are so many plot holes and loopholes that I can't even enjoy the storyline. And I'm trying really hard. I am trying with everything in me to enjoy this Retribution storyline. I'm trying. And I, again, there are some good things to cling on to. Like, it's new people. The girls and guys are in the same group. They're different looking. The cool masks. The head guy is an okay promo. Like, there are some things that you can stick to. And then, oh yeah, don't forget the indiscriminate number of their buddies, who apparently don't have contracts, are being allowed to come in at any time at will. I mean, this is just poor storytelling. Poor, you know what it is? Not even more than poor storytelling. Poor storytelling is a symptom. The problem is preparation. The problem is long-term vision. That's the problem. The symptom will then become bad execution, bad stories, because you didn't have a plan in place. That's what's happening here. That's what's happening. Because people are starting to lose interest in Retribution and going, you know, including myself, including many others. And they were saying, okay, we're done. Like, what? We don't care what you're here for anymore. This is not progressing. You're spinning your wheels. I'm over this. And WWE, I feel like, was kind of forced by the fans' impatience, but rightfully so. Rightfully so. This is not fans going, oh my God, I need something new every week. No. Fans after 8 weeks are like, is this going anywhere? And WWE is probably like, these impatient fans. No, we just want a story that we actually think you've prepared ahead of time instead of at whim changing on the fly, which is what I feel like WWE has done with Retribution and what they've done with Raw Underground. Although I have some good things to say about Raw Underground coming, believe it or not. And that's what Retribution feels like. A haphazardly thrown together storyline that was thought of a few months ago, and Vince is like, I like it. And somebody's like, well, what's the end game? Where are we going? I don't know, pal. We'll figure it out along the way. I mean, that is That's what it sounds like the production meeting went. And yeah, it's pulling off real world events. We know that. We know what they're pulling from. We know the group, the real life group that they're pulling from. And it's a dangerous, dangerous line to toe with what they're doing. But they've done it pretty successfully thus far in terms of not creating too much negative press. I'm not saying successful in terms of storyline, just the not getting themselves in a lot of trouble with their sponsors and the general public. But does anybody else feel me on these things? I mean, am I just overthinking this? As you're overanalyzing everything. You just want to complain. I don't think I am. I mean, I know there's times where I probably have gone over the line and just nitpick. And you can nitpick on everything. I get it. And there's times where I take something small and blow it up. But these are three massive holes in the story. Massive. The hypocrisy of taking money. The fact that they're apparently allowed to do anything at any time. And no one else is. No one's awarded that privilege. And they're given contracts. Who is, like, do they have the worst legal team of all time sitting at Stamford, Connecticut in WWE headquarters? I mean, seriously. If this group was to be believed as a real group, because this is supposed to be a sport that is simulated and we're all supposed to believe in it, without belief, you don't care. But if this is supposed to be a group that is extremely dangerous to employees, has created thousands of dollars in damage in WWE property, has threatened everyone in the organization, and they're rewarded with contracts? Shouldn't, again, you could argue, like, I can hear somebody out there saying, well, wait a minute, you were saying that they were supposed to be, you know, that we are all stop pretending that they're not supposed to be there. Now they're there and then you're complaining. No, because they could have gotten they didn't develop a bridge to get there. They just teleported them to the other side of the river. They didn't bridge anything. They just are awarded contracts after all of this felony behavior by a company that is supposed to be mitigating liability. I mean, they could have easily said, hey, they held so-and-so hostage. Or, I mean, there's ways to do it. They could have collected a ransom or said, we want contracts or something bad is going to happen, right? I mean, you can't go too extreme. You can't, like, threaten someone's life or threaten to bomb something. I mean, you got to be really, really careful. But there's creative ways to do it. And they didn't do it. They just, again, indiscriminately decided to reward bad behavior. But I guess that's just kind of a reflection of WWE's storytelling as a whole. Meaning, what do I always say on this show? At least once a show. Attack the champion, get a championship match. It's just magnified and blown up by 10 on this level, but it's the same premise. It's the same thing. So I think I've said my piece. I was telling myself not to yell. I may be doing a YouTube video about this, by the way, if for those of you that are like, want to see me rant a little more. I may do a couple minute video on this and publish it tomorrow. We'll see. Which, by the way, is youtube.com/theWWE podcast. Go ahead, subscribe, and take a look at the videos I've produced. I haven't done one in 4 days or so. I'm just super busy trying to pack and everything else going on in my life. But check it out, youtube.com/theWWE podcast. So, all right, let's move on from Retribution and talk about Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre. Yeah, Randy Orton attacked Drew and then cut a promo and talked about the fact that, hey, I'm going to be there Sunday. I have never missed a world championship opportunity. I'm not going to start now. And then he walks over to the ambulance and tells everyone what the ambulance means to him. And that last or 2 weeks ago when he was in an ambulance, he felt the pain of what he's been dishing out. And he smiled knowing that everyone experienced this pain. And he basically doubled down on everything he did. And it was an okay promo. It wasn't Randy's best. It did, I guess, sell me a little bit more for the pay-per-view. So mission satisfactorily accomplished. And it wasn't, again, Randy Orton stumbling, which is not Randy Orton like, saying things that he just misspoke, right? He didn't get Claymore not once, not twice, not three times, and then he stopped himself. He's like, well, actually, yeah, I got like three times. So it's kind of funny that if you really did get kicked in the head three times. Maybe you don't remember how many times. So I guess the irony of that. But the fact that they can't even mention concussion, we have to talk about Drew's broken jaw. We can't talk about the fact that if you had a 275-pound man drop kick you in the head three times, like we cannot. Is the word concussion on that the naughty list for Vince? Is that what this is? I mean, we have to remember he's a business. He has sponsors. Concussion is a very hot topic. So if WWE was to make light of it by talking about it in their wrestling promos and their fake fantasy land, then maybe their sponsors would be a little bit turned off or you'd have outrage. So it's just a result of a very sensitive society. And we can't even talk about things that aren't even real. I can guarantee you that is why we can't say the word concussion. Because that's what would happen to Drew. That's what would have happened to Randy. Those would have been the diagnoses. Concussion. There, I said it. Good God, I don't know why we can't say that word. It's so... All right. But Randy cut a decent promo. Decent. And then attacked Drew with a chair, and then attacked him at the end of the show when he basically led the Calvary. Not Calgary. I'm thinking of Calgary, Alberta, Canada. But he led everyone down to the ring and leveled Retribution. And they were left flattened at the end of Raw until Randy Orton came out and RKO'd Drew McIntyre, which I didn't see coming. I didn't. I thought it was over. Typically, that kind of thing wouldn't happen twice, and it did. And hey, fine. I'm cool with it. It just puts more heat on Randy, who desperately, I think, needs to rebuild a bit from his loss to Keith Lee, which, God, that hurts me to say. Given how hot Randy is. Not again, I don't want to take anything away from Keith. Just Randy's super hot. What are you doing? That's not Keith Lee's victory to have. It's Edge's. But it was a good ending to Raw, but if you're going to have Retribution be a significant threat, how are they leveled the first night that they're officially as part of the Raw roster? I don't get that either. But Randy Orton hitting an RKO to me is what I'll take away from that, and we'll move on here to Raw Underground. Let's move on to Raw Underground. Raw Underground's been a very weird project because I don't think many of us understood the purpose of it. I don't think many of us understood the end game or why it existed other than a reason to bring back Shane McMahon and then have it kind of be a, just something different. I've been critical of it because it's a UFC pro wrestling style, which doesn't mix. You can't mix those two. They're oil and vinegar or oil and water, whatever analogy you want to use. I'm not a science guy, by the way. Not at all. In fact, sidebar, I took science 101 and barely passed. I was like a business major, so science was just a non-factor to me, as well as calculus, which took me 7 times to pass. Now, you may say, wait a minute, you failed 6 times? No, I failed, I got a D once and dropped out the other 5 times. I didn't want to fail. So I eventually got a C over a summer course at a local college, and it was the best time of my life. Calculus is the antithesis of my being. It is an evil topic, an evil genre to get into. But if, hey, if you're a math person, or maybe you're an engineer, God bless you. My mind is the opposite of an engineer's. Like, thinking about it, every little thing works, and that ain't me. Like, I'm very simple. Right, I'm very simple. But, okay, so we had this week with Raw Underground, and Braun Strowman's found a nice little home there. And to be honest, it's weird. I'm actually more excited to watch him now than as the monster among men, who is apparently the Strowman Express and whatever weird marketing they want to come up with. He's just a guy in a tight workout, like, polyester shirt or whatever it is, and he's just kicking ass. I like it. This, to me, is like a really good version of Braun Strowman. He doesn't talk. He just comes in there. He's a big dude, and he just whoops ass. And I'm fine with it for now. I mean, granted, this is kind of a... It feels like a little bit of a hold me over for Braun Strowman before they kind of find an opponent for him, a real opponent. And yes, this past week, he faced Dabba Kato. Okay, we know that. And the size of these two behemoths, as they said, it's a very Vince word to say, isn't it? Behemoths. It seems like a very masculine alpha male thing to say. And so clearly we know where that word came from, but it's true. Like, these two guys are massive, and seeing them go at it was a nice hook for Monday Night Raw, for Raw Underground. It actually had some kind of purpose. That's the good thing here. And what I'm, when I said I had something good to say about Underground, here's what it is. It had a purpose. It had a hook. It had me hooked. Meaning, I wasn't sitting at the edge of my seat, but I was like, hey, I want to stay around to see what happens. Now, granted, I'd stay around anyway because this is part of my job and I do love wrestling no matter what. But it was a nice hook to actually be like, whoa, why am I thinking about Raw Underground? Why do I want to see this? Boom. Good job. Now, Braun can't live there forever. Dabba Kato can't live there forever. But that's what you do. And it also showed its purpose as a spillover to the above ground Raw. And it had a purpose to maybe showcase talent in Raw Underground that would normally not be showcased, and then bring them up to above ground Raw. Now, here's the weird thing, though. If they're so successful in Raw Underground, say they start building somebody new down there. Say it's Dabba Kato, somebody else, man or woman. They start really getting hot. They start whooping people's backsides. They start getting heat or whatever. How are they going to translate that into the above ground Raw? And I'm calling it above ground Raw because what else are you going to call it? The main roster? The regular show? Whatever. I'm going to call it above ground. So what do you do? If they're so successful and all of a sudden they just change their style on Raw, on the above ground version of Raw, why? Because you know that's what's going to happen. You can't have them do UFC play fighting like they do in Raw Underground and translate that into the above ground Raw. So I'll be very interested to see what happens if they just all of a sudden they're like, they just, boom, switch their style, whoever it may be, into not just senseless brawling and double leg takedowns and then just ground and pound, which is what everyone has been doing, is just double leg takedown, ground and pound, double leg takedown, ground and pound for the most part. So, but again, the positives are it's a nice place to build new stars that may not have gotten a chance. But it's also limiting them and showing the people what they can do, because it's a very just ground and pound, double leg takedown, brawl style. It's very limiting in that way. So it's definitely got some negatives, but it has positives. And this week it had me hooked. So congrats to WWE. It's a small step in the right direction, but it's called consistency. We'll see where this leads. We also had Zelina Vega get her first massive victory over Mickie James and earning a Raw Women's title shot at Asuka, and that's, I think, a good thing. I was surprised maybe that they didn't address the Mickie James situation more. They didn't. They just kind of slipped it by, and they mentioned it was controversial, but nothing ever came of it. They just, which tells me that this was not something meant to happen. It just kind of happened. I don't understand the reasons for it. They just don't want to make a bigger deal out of it than they need to. And they're hoping after this week, it just goes away. And that's, I guarantee, their thought process. And they put Zelina Vega, who, hey, you guys, I don't even need to say it to you guys. You know how much of a big fan I am of her. And in the ring, now again, in the ring and on promo and presence and cadence and promos and all that are two different things. On promos and her presence and the way that she speaks, A+. I mean, I can't say enough. In ring, I think she'll probably surprise more people than she doesn't. Zelina Vega in the ring is surprisingly good if you've never seen her. And what I mean by that is, say you've never seen her in the ring in terms of like actually wrestling. You'd probably think, oh, manager, transition from manager to wrestler, it's going to be a bumpy road. No. Zelina Vega, I think, is a very transitioned very well. But I mean, she's performed before. This is not her first rodeo, but she's been so defined as this manager for many years now that you're like thinking, wow, but can she really still go? And she, I think, answered our questions. I have my reservations that she's going to have a title victory or a championship win in the near future. I think Asuka is the one to beat right now, and I don't see Zelina Vega taking the championship from Asuka at this point. Number one, I don't even know if it's time. As much as of a fan I am of her, I think she needs a little more time. And not that she's not ready promo-wise or even in-ring-wise. It's just a time for fans to get to know the competitor of Zelina Vega. We've seen the manager. We know what she can do. She's got so many innate talents and things that you can't teach that are just there for her. But it's going to take time to get into the minds of fans that she's a legitimate contender and not just a pretender for those that have not been familiar with her in-ring style. So I don't think it's time. If they do it, I'll be shocked and I'll be like really happily surprised, but I don't see it happening in really any universe at this point, even the WWE one. but alrighty, well, moving on to Seth Rollins and the DNA test. Good Lord. Okay. I know what they're doing. They've at least taken a new angle. So again, positives and negative, folks. They've at least taken a new angle to this. They've added a new wrinkle. They've added something different to focus on, which is two things, twofold. Number one, the DNA test. Is Dominic truly Rey Mysterio's son? And is Aaliyah truly, now Aaliyah was brought into it, truly a Rey Mysterio's daughter? And Seth trying to drive a wedge in the family. That's one. Number two, the budding romance that seems to just be planted between Murphy and Aaliyah, who's 19. Let's be careful. Yeah, she's legal, but we need to be careful, WWE. Yes, she's legal. Okay, that's a non-issue. But do you really want to trot out Murphy, who is 30-something, with a 19-year-old girl on your TV screen? Could be a little uncomfortable. It could be like just on the fence a little bit too much. But it's legal. There's nothing wrong with it from a legal perspective. But do you really still want that image? I don't know. But it's clearly heading. It looks like it's heading that way. They could cut it short, but it looks like they've at least planted the seeds for it of Murphy coming in to apologize to Aaliyah about everything. And so when I'm sorry, just completely erases the fact that you gouged out my husband's eye and have been tormenting my family for months. Yeah, the I'm sorry is like it's, you know, my bad, right? Yeah, that just erases everything. But Rey Mysterio or Seth Rollins comes out and does the whole Maury Povich, you are not the father, which was a play on not just Maury Povich, of course, a very famous line from the show, but also played on the whole Eddie Guerrero storyline from about 15 years ago about Eddie Guerrero threatening Rey that he's not truly the father of Dominic. And it was a very uncomfortable storyline, but memorable. So it's weird. They're really grasping at straws now. I don't need Seth Rollins, an amazing in-ring competitor, talking about DNA tests. I mean, I just don't. This needs to end. I'm with all of you here, and I've said to everyone, including myself, that if we can just get to Hell in a Cell, this will all be over. It will all be over. It has to be. So, TikTok, folks, TikTok. Alrighty, moving on the line here. We also got the Street Profits on commentary, who were, again, they are what they are. If you like that kind of personality, you like the Street Profits. I'm not a fan, not my cup of tea. Doesn't mean I don't think they're great competitors and they got a presence, have a presence on camera. But it's just not my cup of tea in terms of cheering for that type of personality. And it's just the way it is. They're the antithesis of like somebody I would hang out with. It just, they are not that, again, I want to be clear. I don't think they're bad people. I just, if that personality was real life, I would distance myself so fast from that person. It would leave a trail of fire on the ground of how fast I would just move away from that person. I mean, it's anyway. So we got them on commentary during the tag match between Angel Garza and Andrade versus Seth and Murphy. And Angel Garza and Andrade ended up coming out on top. And that was nice to see, albeit because Seth said that to Murphy that he has important things. He has some things to think about and basically left him high and dry. What is Murphy even doing with Seth after this point? I mean, what is he doing? How did we not take last week as a breakup and have WWE follow through? Like, what is happening? How is Murphy still with Seth? They came out like nothing happened this week. Like, what? What is happening? Murphy was beat to a pulp last week And he's back. I mean, I don't know. Kevin Owens with Shane McMahon on the KO show. I'm glad they at least brought up a little bit of their history to not ignore it. Fine. Let's move on. How he was rehired, we'll never know. But at least they addressed it. Fine. It was a setup and a promotion for Dabba Kato and Braun Strowman for later in the night at Raw Underground. Fine. Fine. I'll leave that alone. But Aleister Black came out and attacked Kevin Owens again and slammed him groin first into the ring post 3 times. This program continues, and I'm fine with it. I like the eye band or the headband that Aleister Black is wearing. I think it fits him well. I think he should wear it even after his eye heals. It really, really is adding a lot. I don't know what it is, something so simple. Keith Lee versus Drew again. Why are we still having these? What is Keith Lee doing at this level right now? Can we just, I'm not saying start from the bottom. I'm not saying start and gravel from the bottom and work your way all the way up. But do we really need to put him in a match with the WWE champion 2 weeks in a row and work with the top heel and beat the top heel? No. The answer is no. No. But Keith Lee remains undefeated simply for the fact that Randy Orton came in and caused a disqualification. So Keith Lee is once again the beneficiary of a disqualification match, and I don't see him losing a match for quite some time. So I thought Raw was good, but boy, oh boy, was this a weird Raw in terms of Retribution, and I already stated my case about Retribution earlier in the show. Couple last things. Let's see. I'm looking through the things that weren't on Hulu. So that's what I'm digging through. We had, oh good Lord, the Shark Truth. I'm not even going to touch that because I don't want to end on a sour note. We had, let's see here. Oh, we had Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax face Lana and Natalya. And guess who won? I mean, I don't even need to say it. Shayna Baszler has just been relegated to a tag team division now after main eventing the women's division at WrestleMania. So that's something to be said for that. So again, a very interesting Monday Night Raw, but one that has not without its faults, certainly not without its faults, with Retribution really making, again, if you just transplant your brain, you might be able to enjoy this with Retribution and not think about the storyline implications that just make zero sense. I'm sure people within WWE, if they listen to this, they would say, oh, just stop complaining, stop nitpicking, and just enjoy the interview. Be entertained. Just enjoy it. You're ruining it for yourself. No, because you know what? Like, I'm not going to just go along and be spoon-fed something that you're telling me is say chocolate pudding when it's really dog crap. I mean, I'm not going to go along with something that makes no sense to me for the simple fact that it's a cover for the fact that you cannot create a storyline that makes sense. That's all it would be. If somebody in WWE told me that and they were being serious, that's clearly them trying to cover their backside for the lack of a logical story. By just, forget about the details. Well, that's what a storyline does. That's what a storyteller does. That's what a story writer does. It's concerned about those kinds of details. Okay. Well, anyway, guys, thanks so much for listening to my Monday Night Raw review. If you like this, please give us a subscription if you want to do that, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or on any other platform you listen to us. Also, head on over to YouTube at youtube.com/theWWEPodcast. Just getting going there. I mean, I think we're still under 200 subscribers, but hey, we're just getting things going. I'm going to try to grow it as much as I can. And if you want to be a part of it, head on over there and it'd be much appreciated. Tomorrow, Wrestling Nostalgia. And then the prediction show for Clash of Champions coming up on Saturday. I'm working on getting a co-host there. And of course, this coming Sunday or Monday, we are going to be doing a collaboration with the Botch Guy. So if you haven't heard it before, we did one at SummerSlam. And now the Botch guy and I are reconnecting for Clash of Champions. Please give this guy a subscription on YouTube. Really good. One of the best, I think, wrestling channels out there in terms of just authenticity and entertainment, flat out entertainment. Head on over to the Botch guy on YouTube and give him a like and a subscribe as well. So, alrighty, guys, thank you again so much for listening. It's always a pleasure to be able to vent and talk with other wrestling fans that love it and hate it just as much as I do. So until then, guys, you know what I'm going to say? I'll be talking to you soon. Are you in a position where you need to sell your home? Perhaps you're facing financial difficulties, or you're facing a foreclosure, a divorce, or maybe you're just relocating because of retirement. Maybe there are some other debt issues and you just need to sell your home. Well, here is a great solution for you. And that solution is Bright Realty Investment. They are a leading real estate solutions company, and their mission is to work hand in hand with all parties to handle every situation with the utmost professionalism and care. So if you're in a particularly stressful financial situation right now and you need to protect your credit, then don't waste another minute. Head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com. That's brightrealtyinvestment.com. And when you go to the website, there's a really easy form you fill out that's right at the top, and they'll get back to you immediately. So why wait? Don't let that divorce, that retirement, or other bad debt situation take control of your life. Take control back and head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com, where they can buy your house, protect your credit, and get your life back on track. Again, head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com.